Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, we're experiencing a few days of very pleasant weather here in Ireland, but temperature records for early June are already being broken in parts of Europe. Both Spain and Portugal experienced periods of extreme heat, we know, last summer, and both countries are bracing for more of the same this year. Also, Irish travel operators now say that these rising temperatures are driving tourists to opt for cooler holiday destinations. Well, with more on this, I'm joined by Alison Roberts, who's a freelance journalist in Lisbon in Portugal, and Sarah Morris, who's a correspondent in Madrid in Spain for France 24. And Alison, we'll come to you first in Portugal. How have things been so far this month or in the last little while in Lisbon?
Well, temperatures are ticking up now. We're expecting up to 39 degrees Celsius in the interior near the border with Spain. And even here in Lisbon, where the proximity of the sea is pretty much a moderating influence, we expect anything up to 35 today. That's certainly rather higher than usual at this time of year, but it's not unprecedented. And you mentioned their holiday makers. As often happens, the Algarve down in the south, because it has the Atlantic to its west and south, it's only going to see maximums of around 29 degrees today. But even there, they're likely to tick up over the next couple of days. And in parts of Portugal, we could have temperatures of up to 40 in the interior, in the south of the country.
But what you might expect over the course of the summer and what you saw in last summer was 47 in some places. Is that right?
That's right. Although, you know, from this distance, it is quite difficult to predict exactly the, you know, within a degree or two, the highs that we might have. There is a lot of talk of record summer. At the moment, there's just a yellow weather warning. So that alerts people to the dangers of undertaking some outdoor activities because of the strength of the sun. But it is an issue, as usual at this time of year, that more than half of mainland Portugal is at maximum or very high risk of wildfires. And that's always an issue. Portugal has a very dispersed ownership of forest. It's almost all privately owned. A lot of it is not very well managed. So when we do have these high temperatures, it is always a worry as to whether fires might take hold and spread.
Now, we had a travel company here in Ireland come out yesterday and say that Irish people are looking for cooler holiday destinations during those peak months. Is there any indication of that happening, that there might be a drop in numbers coming at that peak time, particularly July, August, I suppose, would be the peak for Portugal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, to be quite honest with you, I have not heard of that happening. As I mentioned, the Algarve, which is really the Portugal's prime tourism destination down there in the south, it is more temperate than, say, the coasts over in Spain, which have a more continental climate. So, that does tend to help it a little bit. There tend to be higher temperatures in the interior. Not so many tourists go there, walkers and so on, but the people who go on the beach, they usually won't get Portugal's highest temperatures. I would say, though, that in elsewhere, for example, in Lisbon, which has been a very popular destination for city breaks in recent years, the high season is very definitely not anymore August, because a lot of people have realised the temperatures can be very high. They're not always, but they can be very high in August. So it's now what was used to be the shoulder season. June and September is now actually the high season here in Lisbon, certainly. Mm-hmm.
And the problem for many people in Lisbon and in Portugal, and you might explain this to us, is the lack of insulation in homes to deal with this heat.
Yes, in terms of locals, who tend to live in older housing stock than the places that tourists might stay in, it's quite rare actually to have air conditioning, and the level of insulation is really very poor. So both in the winter and in the summer, that is a problem. People like to, in the summer when the temperature is very hot, open their windows at night to cool down their homes. At the moment, we're going to have very warm nights, which is unusual in Lisbon and other areas along the coast. And also we have a lot of hot air coming from Africa, bringing with it dust, perhaps from the Sahara, certainly from drier areas. And that means people cannot leave their window opens all night. And that is a big problem for a lot of people.
But the immediate, from what you've said, Alison, it sounds like the immediate concern is the forest fires. Am I right?
Well, we have had a few minor forest fires lately. As I just said, it is always a concern. Again, it is quite unpredictable because most of them are started either by negligence or by accident. So people operating machinery in an area where they shouldn't be, or using a bonfire in an area which then spreads. Obviously, there are very tight restrictions on that, but it does still happen. There are people still, farmers, who believe that they need to do that to clear areas, for example, for new pasture. So it's a running issue. It's not going to go away. And the weather conditions certainly affect that very much.
Another running issue is the concern some people have about over-tourism. And Lisbon was one of the cities over the weekend where people were marching to protest about this. What problems has the city experienced, and how widespread is that protester movement, would you say?
Yes, we have had some demonstrations here, not quite as large as we've seen in Barcelona, for example. You've seen the very dramatic pictures from there of people, tourists being sprayed or otherwise intimidated, one might say. That hasn't happened here in Portugal. But certainly there is a feeling in the cities where housing costs are extraordinarily high now that this has been affected, particularly by short-term rentals. It's a very narrow rental market now. There's very little on offer. And salaries just haven't kept up. So that's really a major issue that the governments have not done anything about, or certainly have not done enough to deal with it.
Alison Roberts there in Lisbon. Thank you very much, Alison, for joining us. And let's move to Madrid in Spain now. And Sarah Morris is with us on the line. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Claire.
How are temperatures in Madrid at the moment?
Certainly feeling pretty hot. 36 degrees it's predicted to go up to tomorrow, and probably about 35 degrees today. And I think probably for me what's made it feel a lot hotter is that in April, around Easter time, we almost got an inversion. I think Ireland, you got our Mediterranean weather, and we got a lot of rain. And so it's coming into May with these temperatures hitting 40 degrees. Off the back of that, we just haven't really been warmed up for it. So very hot. But interestingly, throughout Spain, some of the regions are actually on alert for rains as well. So they're getting weather alerts for very hot weather, but also warnings that there could be strong winds in places like Valencia and even hail.
So we have a listener who is joining us from Spain, who's listening in Madrid, actually. Alex, thank you very much, Alex, for getting in touch. And Alex moved to Madrid last year, and they say, I'm waking up at 3 a.m. with a temperature of 28 degrees and it takes a beating. The average daily temperature is 35 plus and it's only June. Everyday work and socialising is becoming very uncomfortable. But this is not classified yet as a heat wave, is it, Sarah?
It's not. It's not, because heat waves have to be very long, last a while, and probably 3 days at least of intense weather. And they also have to be very high compared to the historical averages. And so for the moment, some of the weather forecasters are saying it is not yet a heat wave, even though if you look at the historical data, you can see that we're getting higher temperatures earlier on. So your listener's right, it does feel as if this June feels hotter than previous Junes. And some of the weather forecasters say, yeah, basically, if you go back to the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, when many people would have come on holiday in Spain, you would get sort of 0.6 heat waves a year. But since 2015, we're averaging 3 per summer. So that's one of the reasons why it probably feels a lot hotter. And that listener talking about those torrid nights, basically, yes, it doesn't seem to be a cooling down at the nights as it used to do.
So 3 heat waves per summer, which is yet another sign that things are changing. And how do people who live in Madrid then cope with these very high temperatures that will probably be expected now over the course of the summer?
Well, this week, most of the swimming pools open, the public swimming pools and the ones that are in normal shared flats and so forth. And people were absolutely desperate to get those open, basically. The schools close early, partly for the summer holidays, because a lot of schools have not been air conditioned so far. And the Madrid Regional Authority basically saying it wants now to get more air conditioning into schools to help with that. Lots of locals just take refuge between the hours of 1 to 6 indoors. And that's something that the local authorities are very much encouraging holidaymakers to do, offering things for them, like free flamenco in some of the art galleries. That was an initiative that was started last year, basically, because they know that particularly elderly people, pregnant people, children are very, very vulnerable to this heat and can even end up hospitalised.
So they're organising special events that happen indoors to encourage people to get out of that heat.
Exactly. And more and more I see in the planning and development that they are trying to put up a green vertical gardens to make sure that they can cool down these urban areas, which just get heated up so much. So any kind of extra shadow, shade that they can offer is really very much welcome.
And is there any indication, and even over the last couple of years, Sarah, that this is affecting tourism there? Like I was saying to Alison, we have had a travel company saying yesterday that Irish people now are looking at where they are going and when they are going. And in high summer, Spain and Portugal might be dropping back a bit and people looking at destinations that they reckon will be cooler.
My sense is that's not showing up on the tourist figures, but I think that individuals learn the lesson the hard way and they come to cities like Madrid in July and August and find it very difficult to survive and to cope with it. And so in the future, they try to plan to come to those types of cities earlier in the year. I think one thing I'm noticing is that some of those northern places in Spain that used to be really seen as off the beaten track and were ignored, places like Galicia, places like Asturias, those are becoming really popular for Spaniards, renting houses in the countryside, in the mountains, in cooler parts. And I suspect that many of the tourists from abroad are going to follow that move as well.
Mm-hmm. And the traditional tourism time for Spaniards, is that August?
It is. It would be August and July. Very much people would often leave those cities like Madrid and Barcelona and they would take refuge in the mountains. And in fact, it's quite common for people to send their children and perhaps one of the husband or wife who has to accompany the children. It's quite traditional for somebody to have some kind of house inside in the mountains and to actually decamp the whole family to get out of the hot city. That's definitely something that has always been very, very traditional. It's just a way of coping.
Sarah, there was a lot of coverage here and it's ongoing about the anti-tourism protests in your part of the world, in Spain and in Portugal too, and on some of the islands, and the protesters calling for their colleagues to get the water guns out again to spray some of the tourists to let them know that they're not wanted. Is it a strong movement in Spain?
It's a growing movement, but I would say that some of those local councils can be frustrated. For instance, on the Canary Islands, and in Barcelona, they can be frustrated because they don't want to deter tourism completely. A lot of those protests, they're driven by locals, by left-wing politicians, and so although they are growing, they reflect a real opinion of many people and frustration with lack of housing and with some of those entire apartment blocks which get taken over by people renting them out exclusively to tourists. But I would say that there is a lot of effort from those local authorities to try to adapt tourism to the local life, and many, many people very well aware that they live from tourism, they like tourists, they make them very welcome, and so it's something which is, there were two sides to all of the communities, I would say, in places like the Canary Islands, Barcelona.
Of course. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us. Sarah Morris, their correspondent for France 24, who's based in Madrid in Spain.